Charles Dutoit is one of the most successful conductors working today. 58 years ago, he was here attending the Tanglewood Music Center.
And since that time, he's been very close to Tanglewood and the VSO. He made his conducting debut here in 1981, has returned most years since, annually since 2002, and last year was named the Koussevitzky Artist, an honorary title given by the VSO in recognition of his commitment to the 2016 Tanglewood season and longtime contributions to the VSO and other orchestras around the world.
Tonight, he will be conducting the Harry Janosch Suite. Did I say that right?
Harry Janosch.
Harry Janosch.
Kodai, yes.
Kodai. And you're going to be conducting that tonight as part of Tanglewood on Parade. It's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you
very much. It's always good to see you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So, how did you come? Do you tell them this is what I would like to conduct, or do they ask you this is what?
For this piece, you mean?
Yes.
No, well, you know, every we always discuss and, you know, manage to find a, you know, program, but never impose anything, depending on the season. You know, they have such a large season here that, you know, if I say I would like to do Mahler Third, and say, oh, well, we're just doing it, or we played it last year, or so. So, you know, we have to, of course, to discuss all these programs. But I think the choice is very interesting because it's played by the kids, you know, by the, this orchestra, and they are so wonderful, and they have the brass section, which is quite special, and so it's a it's a piece which isn't played very much because it requires a cymbalom, you know, this strange sort of Hungarian instrument that there are very few players in the world who can play the instrument and also read the music, you know. They are mostly playing popular music in Hungary, improvising, you know, but they don't read classical music, so it's but it has a fantastic sound.
So bring me back to 1959 when you were here as an alum of the Tanglewood Music Center. What was that like, and then what is it like coming back year after year and having a relationship with the place that really helped form part of your foundation?
Well, you know, it was my first trip to America, to the States. I came here.
Really? That was your first time?
It was fantastic to see that, the environment here and all the people on the lawn, you know, and also all the famous artists that I met here, like Copeland, like Lucas Foss, Bernstein, everyone was around, you know. So it was overwhelming for a young European, conductor or student. And it was a fantastic experience.
So picking up on Joe's good question here, what do the young people who are conducting here, what do they want to know from you?
In what term?
I mean, in other words, what's the most popular question you get asked? What is it that they want you to give to them?
Well, you know, it's always the same thing. The relationship between the conductor and young people, you have to have a rehearsal technique in order to make things work. It's like, you know, a conductor is a little bit like a good doctor who has to listen and then, try to find a solution, you know, diagnosis, and find a solution to cure all these things. And with the experience, you can do that very quickly, like in every profession, you know. So this is what I'm trying to tell them, and also the young people, the young conductors around. You see, they are very talented, but they, of course, you cannot gain the experience if you have no experience. It's a long way to go to know these things. But if you are in contact with the right persons, you can learn a lot. And you know, at my age, having done what I have done for 60 years now, you know, I think it's good if I can, providing that they want to listen to tell them the result of my experiences.
So is there a gene, a conducting gene?
I think so, yes, I think so. I don't think you can learn, really. It's not an artificial thing. You have to have this facility of expressing yourself with your body language, with your eyes, with your arms, and so on, to express the music and inspire the musician to find the right phrasing, the right sound, the right volume, and so on. Now, it's. I don't think you can learn very much. You have this in your system.
Or you don't.
Or not. Yeah, or you don't.
And when somebody hits a sour note in an orchestra that is playing under you, how do you communicate that to them, or do you just let it go?
Well, you see, it's a question which requires a long discussion. So I can only tell you that when you read the music first time and there is a wrong note, you never say anything, because you know that most of the people the second time will correct that.
Right.
If the second time it comes back, you say, is this maybe a misprint? So, you know, you start to discuss with that person, are you reading the wrong note or the right note? And this is what it should be. But there is no animosity, you know.
Right.
I mean?
Is it ever a misprint?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Especially, of course. of course. In, you know, publications, I mean, editions from Europe, sort of French editions, for instance, are full of misprints.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also here in America, not only in France, but here where we have this Calmus edition, some of them are really, they are reprinting the misprints or in the original parts, you know.
Yeah.
No, we have to deal with
down.
That. And, you know, new pieces, of course. You know, there is a copyist, they do this, miss a note or something. You know, I just did that piece by Stravinsky, which was discovered again, you know, after 100 years in St. Petersburg, and it's published by Boussinhawks. And you see, there were two, I helped them to correct the misprints. There are many misprints, and there are still some one or two misprints in the material today that we had to correct here with the BSO on last Saturday.
Is that the job of the librarian? Librarian's very important, isn't he? Or she.
Yes, of course. I mean, of course. But you know, sometimes they cannot go through every note.
Sure.
You know, it takes an enormous time to do that, and then to correct the parts. So usually, you have to cooperate, all of us, with, you know, between the musician, the conductor, the librarian who does the correction. Yeah, of course.
But the score you have and your knowledge, that's right. You know that to be right, correct?
Well, hopefully, yes.
Yeah.
It can be wrong too, you know, but at least you have you're responsible as far as your knowledge is for the result. Yeah.
When you stepped down from Philadelphia, and but by no means retired, you're still doing 100 plus dates a year. That's a lot, isn't it?
Because I hate the term of retirement.
Yeah.
I think when you have this drive and this enthusiasm and this ambition, I mean, in a good sense, then it keeps you going. You know, if you stop overnight and then the next day, you know, you feel like overcooked spaghetti, you know. and you know, I need to have to feel and to have this energy and to go on.
You have to be al dente.
Yeah. Al dente indeed, yeah.
Now, but there has to be also great freedom, not to say that you hadn't had this before, but you get to do what you want to do, right? I mean, is that safe to say? I mean, you can get pick and choose what you want to do, and that must be a lovely place to be in your career.
No, of course. In this profession, actually, musicians can accept or refuse an engagement, and they can. It's practical. It's not like being in an office from 9 to 5, where you know you have to. We certainly have a lot of flexibility. Yeah.
I just want our listeners to know that right now the entire Boston Symphony Orchestra is waiting for you, and we're holding you. So that's the power that you have, and certainly that we do not want to hold you hostage against your will. So we will let you get to the shed and get ready for tonight's performance. It is always a great treat and pleasure to have you with us, and we thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Charles Dutoit will be one of the wonderful conductors on the podium tonight at Tanglewood. You can find out more by going to tanglewood.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.